Now, the Wakeley Award is best known for journalism, at least it is to me, but they also have a documentary award. And one of the finalists this year is incredible film Yirrlew, Country Healing, Poison Country. Here to discuss more is director Yarrabo Mellum and Banjima traditional owner Janelle Parker. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hello. Good to be here.
Good. I'm glad glad we've got you. Now, to start off, now this film is all about the horrific things that has happened in the country with regarding asbestos mining. Can you just tell us a brief synopsis about it?
About the film or what happened to Banjima country?
Well, it's about the country, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Janelle, would you like to talk about what happened to country? I'm happy for you to lead on that.
Yeah. So basically there was asbestos mining in Whitnam in the early 60s, and we have the exposure on country that that was left behind. So for Banjima, we would like to ask the question, I suppose, as to how we're going to clean it up. And this film, and Yara's done an amazing job to be able to bring that message to light, along with Uncle Maitland Parker, which was his legacy, to be able to look at how to remediate the tailings in Whitnam.
Yeah, it's a it's powerful.
I think it's important to also add, Eleanor, that you know this is the largest contaminated site in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
The asbestos mines left behind more than 3 million tonnes of asbestos mining waste on Banjima country. And even though this contamination zone is the largest in the Southern Hemisphere, the contamination is now spreading outside this exclusion zone, and you know, has become an unacceptable health risk to not just Banjima people, but anyone travelling through that country.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it is quite. I mean, you can't say it's hidden, but it's a hidden fact for most Australians to know about this. I mean, we all talk about asbestos being in our building, but we don't talk about it in country. And the images that you have in this film are startling. They're horrific. Beautiful country with these terrible, terrible tailings of asbestos. It's just awful. But what do you think is possible? How does that get cleaned up?
Well, there's been successive government inquiries looking at clean-up options, recommending clean-up. Within a 5 to 10 year period, these were government inquiries from the 90s. Those recommendations weren't followed. We've also obtained FOI documents, or Freedom of Information documents, which show that the government did commission engineers to look at how to remediate the massive tailing mounds of asbestos waste. And the last set of reports are from 2015. It provided costing options and warned the government that if you don't clean up these tailings or stabilise these tailings dumps, that the contamination is going to spread for, I quote, hundreds of years. The Freedom of Information documents then showed internal correspondence from the government saying that part of the reason that they weren't going to do it, or the large part of it, was due to cost. This is a state government that makes, you know, $12.7 billion in mining and mineral resources royalties, last financial year. I think the $150 million cost that it was given back in 2015 is, minuscule compared to that. And just on what you said earlier about this being out of sight and out of mind for most Australians, it certainly was for me a couple of years ago, until I heard about Maitland's story, Janelle's uncle. And, we wanted to bring it into full view for all Australians. But Janelle, you always say that it's out of sight and out of mind for everyone else, but not for Banjima people.
No, and I think that that's one of the most powerful things about this film is that Uncle was able to be able to bring that to light in a very visual way, along with Yara and her team and Tom. They buried the buildings, took Whitnam off the map, but for Bunjuma, it's a part of our history. It's a part of our oral history. It's a part of our connection to country as well as to family. So whilst they tried to make it out of sight, out of mind, it's very much the lived experience for Bunjuma people. And this film highlights that the tailings still do exist there. There is still that risk of exposure to people. And it's also just this big, you know, mountains of asbestos that's still lying there without being able to restrict where that contamination is going to go and what does that look like into the future and who else is at risk of harm.
Exactly. So how close are you to this contaminated site? How close do you live there, I mean?
So because of the town being pulled off the map, there is actually nobody that lives on the site or around it. We have the Karajini National Park, which is on the other side of the tailings. And, you know, we're wanting to be able to ask the question as to what are we going to do about this as traditional owners, because once it becomes of no economic value, it's still something that's valuable to us as Bunjuma people and as the Bunjuma community.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you don't have a town, like Bunjuma people don't have a town on their own country, because Whitnoom was the main town, I think, yes, in that area. But now Bunjuma people don't have a town to go to.
Yeah.
And Maitland Parker, who's the protagonist and co-creator of this film, he actually lived in Karajini National Park. He didn't actually work in the Whitnoom asbestos mines, but became exposed to the asbestos just, you know, by way of his work, travelling through Whitnoom, you know, while he was a national park ranger, which just shows to you that, you know, the dangers that this exposure poses to people in the area is ever present.
Yeah. And the Hancocks, Lang Hancock, he originally started the mine. Do you think that the Hancock Corporation would have some liability as well as the government?
I think that's a question for the lawyers. I know that they are looking at options, certainly with the WA state government, and Janelle actually and some other Bunjuma board members and the lawyers that they've engaged did go and meet with the WA state government to look at options for remediation and, you know, a constructive dialogue to actually do something about Whitnoom, this issue that's been dormant for more than 60 years now. And they're waiting on a response from the WA government about what they're going to do about it. But if those discussions aren't fruitful, if they can't come to an agreement, then Bunjuma people are ready to litigate.
Yeah.
And as Bunjuma people, this is a legacy that Uncle Maitland started. You know, the film has just highlighted that in a very unique and beautiful way of how country and people are connected, and that this the aftermath of this mining has had a huge impact on us as people. And this out of sight, out of mind narrative doesn't work for us anymore. So Bunjuma are asking the question as to what do we do from here and who helps us be able to do this. And Uncle Maitland was the start of that conversation. And this is just us continuing on with his legacy and his family. Full credit to them. They were able to help Yara to be able to finish the film once Uncle passed. So his three daughters, Corrine, Carmel and Renira, as along with his wife, Margie. They have, you know, supported this and supported this messaging as the family and me as part of this Bunjuma community.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand there's going to be a special Q&A screening throughout the country for this film. That's this next week, isn't it? That's all right?
Well, we have one Q&A screening coming up in Perth on Sunday with Ernie Dingo and Janelle and Corinne and Caroline Parker, you know, Maitland's daughters and nieces.
Mm-hmm. And your Sydney one, because we're Sydney-based, so...
Yep, we've got one Q&A screening. We did one last night with Peter Garrett and Janelle and myself. And next Saturday on the 15th at Dendy Newtown, there'll be a filmmaker Q&A moderated by Jan Fran with myself and the cinematographer, Tom Bannigan, co-producers, James Saunders, composer Helena Chaika, and sound designer Sam Hayward.
Wow, that's a... huge lineup on stage there, but I'll tell you what, the cinema photography, it was superb. It was so beautiful. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
You. Yeah, that was very much Tom.
Yeah, and look, we need to wrap up now. But is there one message you want to share with our audience who may want to see the film?
Yes, please do. We release in cinemas on the 13th of November nationwide. But Bunjuma people are also launching a Clean Up Witnoom campaign, and you can go to and have a look at that and some of the actions that you can take to support them with getting country cleaned up and healed. If you go to www.cleanupwitnoom.com. Janelle, did you want to add something about that?
Yeah, this go and see the film, have a look at the website. Make contact if you have any questions on how to support. Bunjuma are very appreciative of any support that we can get. And for us to just put the message out there now, this is a legacy piece, and we're very much ready to be able to take that next step in how do we clean up Witnoom.
Great. Thank you for joining me today, Yara and Janelle. And all the best with the, you know, the cleanup.
Thank you.
And hopefully it will be cleaned up. Fingers crossed.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
That was documentary filmmaker Yara Bomelham and Bunjuma traditional landowner Janelle Parker joining me to chat about the Weekly Award finalist documentary Yurilo Country, Healing Poison Country. For more info, head over to the2scr.com where we'll have the full story with links to the film website and screening dates. Yeah, it's an interesting documentary. It's incredible the amount of damage in that country. It's just awful. And, yeah, most people don't even know about it. You just think of the effects that it has, you know, in your house, but you never think about the country, about the mining sites, all those mining sites that just leave a hole in the ground. But this is like this black, disgusting, it's just awful.